On that note, we're going to say hello to Sean Moulton. He is a senior policy analyst for OMB, Office of Management and Budget Watch, for quite some time now. He's been there since early 2002, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
In the last 3 years, I bet you've seen a lot to talk about.
Unfortunately, yes. I work primarily on getting access to environmental information, making sure that the people have information about what's in their air and water. And in the last few years, that has become increasingly more difficult to find out.
And recently, the Environmental Protection Agency has announced plans to significantly roll back reporting of toxic pollution under the agency's Toxic Release Inventory, or TRI. Is that correct?
That is correct. TRI has probably been the most successful environmental information program the agency's ever had, and its reward, apparently, under the Bush administration, is to be cutting down the middle. Right now, the proposals, there's two proposals. First, they want to increase the thresholds so that companies would be able to pollute basically 10 times more than they currently can right now before they even have to tell EPA the details on the toxic chemicals they're releasing. And then a year from now, EPA plans to literally cut the program in half by eliminating every other year. Basically, they would stop watching the corporations for half the time.
Now, although one can read into what's behind this or who's behind this, what's your read on where this came from at a time when we're really starting to, now that we can test what kind of chemicals and toxins are in our human body tissues, this is coming up again?
I think there's little doubt this is coming from corporations. It doesn't really impact, in a positive way, anybody else. They get to hide their pollution and basically get to pollute more without the negative stigma of people knowing and complaining about it. The TRI has basically successfully forced companies, or pressured companies, I should say, to make significant reductions in their pollution, not because there's a limit set on them, because there's a law or a rule that requires them to do it. It's merely been because of the negative attention companies have got when they've released massive quantities of toxins.
Now, I remember a while ago, a few years ago, one of the environmental organizations, can't recall which one, had a place where you could go online and plug in your zip code, and it would tell you what kind of toxins are being released in your community. Is that still in effect?
Yes. There's actually two organizations. My group, OMB Watch, runs a website called RTKNet, Right to Know Network, at rtknet.org. And you can search the TRI database by your zip code and a host of other databases. And there's also scorecard.org, which is run by Environmental Defense.
That's the one I was thinking of, yes.
Yes.
And that's still in existence?
They're both around, and both groups are pretty upset about this, because I know RTKNet gets about 250,000 searches a year just on TRI. And then you have Scorecard, and you have EPA, who makes it available as well online now. Basically, this is a very well-used database. There are groups around the country who use the information to make sure their health and their environment is protected.
So this is not a done deal, though. There's a public comment period?
Yes. Under regulations, they have to announce their intention and then allow for the public and interested parties to comment before they finalize it. And the threshold changes are proposed right now. The deadline for public comments right now is set for December 5th, but there are groups that are requesting that be extended because they want the opportunity to make sure that groups around the country are even aware of it. Basically, EPA only gave a 60-day deadline to try and slip it through very quickly.
And that began when?
That began at the beginning of October. The rule was officially published on October 5th.
So there's how much time left?
We're just about at the one-month point.
So there's still time.
Still time.
What should people do if they're a little outraged about this?
If they're a little outraged, then they should be. I mean, we're talking about thousands of communities basically no longer finding out what's in the air and water around them. if they want to get involved in that public comment process, the easiest thing to do would be to go to ombwatch.org. That's just all one word. And on the front page, we have a link to take action on the toxic release inventory. And those comments are getting automatically forwarded into the EPA's public docket so that they will have to read and respond to those comments.
Since you've been studying right-to-know issues in the environmental arena for some time, how does this actually happen? You know, okay, yes, it is the influence of corporate lobbyists, but the Environmental Protection Agency is, of course, supposed to be protecting our environment and our health. What happens in that process? And is there a conduit in between there, like maybe a industry-friendly administration that actually, you know, green-lights this?
Definitely. These rules have to basically, I should say, rulemaking is a very complicated process, and it takes a lot of energy inside the agency to make it through to the end. And so there has to be some sort of driver inside the agency. And most cases, that is a, when it's something like this, it's a political appointee who takes this on as one of their main goals. And the chief information officer at EPA, Kim Nelson, is without a doubt the person who has been championing this this paperwork reduction for companies under TRI that's leading to all this. It has been one of her main goals for the last 2 years, I'd say.
Now, is the technology improving such that a lot more could be done, or is the money that's involved in implementing it just more than these corporations are willing to bear? You know, over the years, we've seen a lot of technological improvements in a lot of areas, computers, cars, and beyond. What about, you know, what they're able to do versus what they're doing?
Absolutely. There's both technology available to make the reporting itself much easier, much less expensive for the companies. Electronic reporting that helps the companies fill out the form and then sends the information automatically to EPA. Even double checks all the math. If anything seems incongruent or out of place, it'll even warn you and say, "Are you sure that's a million? Didn't you mean maybe a thousand?" In addition, while EPA tries to make the claim when they put this out, they made the claim that, well, there are no major reductions left to be had. The program has run its course. We've reduced toxic pollution, and now it's done. We're down as low as we can get, basically. And that's simply not true. There's new monitoring and scrubbing technology that becomes available every year, and it's just a matter of keeping the pressure on and making sure that companies know that that they have to use it.
In our last minute, Sean, what kinds of toxins are we talking about that are being released and contributing to all kinds of pollution and health problems?
The TRI tracks over 650 chemicals right now. The ones that are most notable to people include mercury, lead, dioxin, benzene. These are chemicals that are carcinogens. They're persistent bioaccumulative toxins, meaning they don't break down naturally because they're man-made chemicals, and they also build up in our bodies. So even though you might get a small exposure day in and day out, you actually save that in your body until it becomes a major health issue.
So that toxic soup phenomenon. We're out of time, but we thank you for joining us, and good luck with this campaign. We hope we can help get word out.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Sean Moulton, Senior Policy Analyst for OMB Watch. Stay with us. We'll be right back.